This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. What is your mission, Saquon Barkley?
Be consistent.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, Barkley! There it is, 23-yard explosion.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When I look back on the end of the season, I'll be happy with how things played off.
Barkley across the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10.
Today's guest, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Texans running back Joe Mixon, comedian Jeff Dunham, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. That's correct. Can confirm. And here I am. I'm on television. The Roku Sports Channel, everybody. We're also listenable every single day on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM, Odyssey. Tune in our podcast all 3 hours. Get it. Greatly appreciate it. Howard Beck was the latest guest from The Ringer on the Jim Jackson show that posted yesterday. Eric Bischoff, WWE legend, right? Mm-hmm. Was the no contest wrestling guest on Wednesday.
Factual.
Dan Patrick.
DP.
Was the guest of What the Football this week. That's out there. And then, of course, you've got Overreaction Monday. And Chris Brockman and I have said, you know what? We're going to start doing it first thing in the morning on Monday.
We are, yeah. It's going to come out right,
yeah.
Right away.
Yeah.
Right away on Monday morning.
Should be there for people to, you know, if you're on the East Coast.
Yeah, noon Eastern.
You know, have some lack of productivity at work.
I mean, it's Monday.
Please.
Everybody's slow to work.
Lots to overreact to. Fresh off of Thursday Night Football, we talked about, I think Saquon Barkley should be an MVP candidate and discussed as such after last night's win. And the Washington Commanders are licking their wounds. The question is how significant are the wounds? Tom Pelissero, our good buddy, in his usual Friday spot back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Tom. How are you?
Doing great, Rich. What's up to my boys in the studio there?
Tommy P.
Tommy.
Oh, boy. What up, though?
Oh, boy. Hey, Tom. Now that the pleasantries have been...
You hate that, don't you?
I don't hate. Why would I hate pleasantries?
I don't know.
I don't hate pleasantries. Excuse me. This man has limited time.
I get it.
This man has so much information, I don't even know what I can pull out of this man. I'm talking about him as if he's not listening to all this.
He's staring at us right now.
So I was
a great endorsement right now. Keep going.
No, I would like to use your time wisely, as opposed to now me going off on a tangent for 60 seconds to chastise TJ Jefferson.
I'll text you during the interview, Tom. Don't worry.
Hey, Tom, is Jaden Daniels hurt? Is he hurt? What are you hearing?
I mean, when you suffer the type of rib injury that he has, it's something that can linger. That's definitely part of it. He's wearing something under his uniform to try to mitigate some of that. I know that he made a comment, I think, to the broadcast team about you might see me grimace when I'm throwing the football. You know, anytime that the quarterback's motion is being impacted by pain, that's going to certainly affect the way that your entire offense operates. Looking at that game last night, I don't know how much you attribute to Jaden Daniels not feeling right. He certainly you know, has gotten hit quite a bit. He was used to getting hit at LSU. He's not taken the totally egregious ones, but those add up. It's a longer season in the NFL. You're getting hit by even bigger, stronger, faster men than you were in college. I think that, you know, when you take a step back and look at Washington, and people are going to go, what's going on with the Commanders, and, you know, why aren't they winning? I think that you got a little bit of, you know, a small sample size and, you know, regression to the mean here. I don't think that, I know that if you ask people around the league, they don't look at the Washington roster as like, boy, this is one of the most talented teams in the NFL. That they won some close games. They won a game on a Hail Mary. The quarterback was covering up a lot in the early stages of the season. You know, beyond Terry McLaurin, they got some work to do in terms of filling out the skill spots. Certainly defensively, there's still some pieces that, you know, Adam Peters and company over time are going to be wanting to fill in here. You know, they punched above their weight in the early portion of the season. I don't want to say that they're coming back to earth, but this is, you know, probably what they are, which is a good, competitive, well-coached team that is going to be disciplined. They didn't execute on some things, including that 4th-and-2 last night. Now here they are on a little bit of a losing skid.
And so before we move on to the rest of Week 11, every single time Saquon's going to do something this year, you're going to hear about what happened with the Giants and the fact that he's now an Eagle and doing it for the Eagles. I mean, the fans were chanting, "Thank you, Giants," during his interview on the Thursday night postgame show on Prime Video. So before we move on, hit the Wayback Machine here. Why were the Giants unable to sign him long-term when they then franchise-tagged him and signed Daniel Jones long-term? And that's also, you know, germane to discuss, because this week began with Brian Daboll, fresh back from Munich, not committing to Daniel Jones as the quarterback to finish the season. So what's your reporting from back then? Because it is coming home to roost right now. Tom.
So, okay, go back to March of 2023.
Yep.
And the Giants' plan at that time was they thought that they could get a deal done with Saquon Barkley and then be able to use the franchise tag on Daniel Jones. Rewind even further than that, the 2022 seasons, they're one of the best stories in football, and they won a ton of close games. And Brian Daboll's out there smoking a cigar and signing autographs for the Giants. He's the coach of the year. You know, at that time, it looked like everything's kind of fallen into place. That was, you know, even though Daniel Jones wasn't lighting it up in the passing game that season. You go back, I remember covering a game in Jacksonville where he ran for 50 yards, and I don't think he threw for a whole lot more than that, but it was effective. They played to the strengths of the football team. They won some games. They saw the upside on Daniel Jones. They knew they wanted to keep him, and it was a franchise priority to keep Saquon Barkley. Well, when they got right down to it and they had a sizable offer out to Saquon Barkley, he surprised everybody there by turning it down. And this is in the day or two, I believe, before the franchise tag deadline. At that point, they needed to figure out, okay, do we pivot on this thing? Or do we risk Saquon going out into free agency and not coming back? They decided to pivot, get a deal done with Daniel Jones. Obviously, Daniel Jones' agents at that time knew that they had the leverage because they could only tag one of these guys. And so Daniel Jones gets, I want to say it was a 4-year, $160 million deal, something like that, and comes back and, you know, is locked in as the Giants quarterback on effectively, you know, really a 2-year guarantee. That then allowed them to tag Saquon. They made another run at it in July of 2023. But at that time, you know, the Giants had the leverage on Saquon. You know, back in March, that was his best leverage point. And really, you rewind even further, during the bye week, Rich, in 2022, they tried to get a deal done with Saquon. So three different times the Giants tried to do a contract with Saquon Barkley, but the offer in July of 2023, after, you know, a point at which he had changed agents at that point, after turning down the bigger deal, they didn't offer him as much because they had all the leverage. And instead of negotiating versus him hitting the market, they were negotiating off of the franchise tag number, which, of course, is not particularly high for running backs. You know, by the time we got to this past March, and a lot's been made of Hard Knocks and the way that, you know, why didn't they, you know, really make an offer to Saquon? They had tried three separate times. They had heard, obviously, as you saw Joe Shane say, what the numbers were going to be on Saquon. He ends up going to Philadelphia. At that point, you know, they decided to turn the page you know, focus on, you know, upgrading the offensive line, signing a couple of guards. They did, to their credit, get a guy in Tyrone Tracy who looks like a really good running back. Is he Saquon Barkley? No. There's not many guys who are Saquon. This was going to look this way if Saquon went to Philadelphia and played like peak Saquon Barkley. And remember, Rich, there were a lot of times he didn't do that in New York. There were injuries. He missed a lot of time there. They obviously had just a variety of different challenges offensively. But when Saquon was rolling, he was rolling. There was always that risk. And I don't put as much stock as other people do in the Hard Knocks thing. And that on Hard Knocks, they're just explaining, hey, here's the thought process, you know, to the fans, to the media. Like, this is what we're thinking. This is how we're looking at it. There's no numbers that support paying a running back at this age. Look at the time that he's missed. There obviously were other people in the room saying, well, is there another Saquon, you know, in free agency? And the question was somebody going to pay him? In the end, it's the Eagles who pay him. He goes there to a division rival. We'll see. Again, you know, is he still healthy and rolling into January? If he is, then, yeah, I mean, this is always going to reflect as a mistake by the New York Giants. But they knew the risk at that time. They thought that they were playing the percentages. Daniel Jones not playing up to that contract for 2 years running. Yes, it's a product of what happened with the conversations and the negotiations with Saquon. But in the end, if Daniel Jones plays better, we're not having these same conversations.
No doubt.
He's statistically been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, and they're probably going to have to pivot and go elsewhere in 2025.
No doubt. And again, with six games of 100 yards or more already in Philadelphia, which is the exact number of such games Saquon had in his final four seasons combined with exactly. The Giants, I mean, this is going to just stick out like a sore thumb. So before, again, we move on quickly, the numbers that Saquon signed with Philadelphia, were they dwarfed by the original deal that he shocked the Giants by turning down? Was it, did he take less money from Philadelphia? Like, we still, that's the answer that Giants fans don't have. Is
I would have to go back and look through notes of exactly what those offers were, but I want to say in both cases it was in a very similar neighborhood. It was like in the $13 to $14 million range. There's different ways that you can slice it too in terms of I don't remember off the top of my head what the guarantee structure was and whatnot, but I would fairly say this, Rich. There was not substantially more money that he got from the Eagles than the Giants were willing to offer, particularly when you also take into account that he played a year on the franchise tag, got some incentives added, didn't hit any of them because they were tied to team performance here. In the big picture, Saquon did not make more money by going to Philadelphia. But of course, when he's running like this and literally creating Nike ads on the field, he is making himself some money with the way that he's playing right now.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, we spoke to you Monday after Shane Waldron was surprisingly fired. You were kind enough to zoom into the show there. Now, days later, what are you hearing about what Thomas Brown has been able to affect or what Bears fans can expect differently? Anything coming out of Halas Hall you can throw our direction, Tom?
Well, the first thing I would say is I don't think that you're going to see, you know, wholesale schematic changes or a vast departure from what they're doing. A big part of the bet on Thomas Brown, who, as we discussed on Monday, he's a very sharp guy. He's respected by the likes of Sean McVay. He's very competitive. He is high energy. He is not afraid to coach guys hard when they need to be coached hard. They're betting as much on the personality change and just sort of a different, fresh approach and getting the weight of the boos and the lack of production off their back and hoping that that has a positive impact starting at home on Sunday against the Packers. I would certainly think that based on Thomas Brown's history, he's a former running back. He is a running back's coach. I would think job one would be remind people that DeAndre Swift is on the team. Make sure that you're getting opportunities here, you know, in the running game, getting him the ball in space, you know, some of the squeaky wheels at times like this, maybe get the ball to Keenan Allen a little bit more, maybe find ways to manufacture some touches for DJ Moore. Anything you can do just to keep the positivity flowing, I think is going to be a good thing. You know, the communication is part of this too, because Shane Waldron, remember, was on the sideline. That's where he called the plays from. And if, you know, in the world where Shane Waldron would have stayed, he was probably going to move up to the coach's booth, and Thomas Brown was going to come down to the sideline. I saw Thomas Brown say he is also going to be up in the booth, which means that now the communication to the quarterback is going to be going through other members of the staff, including the quarterback's coach. So I think that just the different communicator, the different face on everything, the way that things are, you know, sent in, it's gonna create a different feel. Does that make any difference? Are they any better? You know, we'll see when we get on the field. I do know that, you know, at least in terms of the skill spots, they've got more talent than the numbers would suggest to this point. And to the extent, you know, of seeing the comments from guys like Keenan Allen saying, well, Shane was too nice a guy and he let some stuff slide like that. Shane Waldron is he's a nice guy. He's a very sharp dude, but he is a little bit, you know, if not introverted, he's going to be more introspective and intellectual about things. Thomas Brown is going to be energy all the time. It is going to feel different on the field. I would think that practice has probably felt different for them through the course of the week. They got their hands full this week against a Packers team that not only can score, but Jeff Hafley has that defense rolling pretty good right now, too.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's whip through so many of these marquee games in Week 11 for some bold-faced names that may or may not be back. How close is Isaiah Pacheco for the Chiefs? He's not going to go against Buffalo, which may have Amari Cooper. Tom?
Sounds like Amari Cooper's got a pretty decent shot to play this week. They ruled out Dalton Kincaid, which is a big deal, because if, you know, Josh Allen has a true, you know, safety outage or, you know, safety outlet in Buffalo, that's the guy. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper, though, treading the right direction, is going to be limited today. He's dealing with a wrist. Those are tricky. You know, we'll see, you know, if it's something that he feels like he can play through this week. Flip side of that, remind me, who was the other one you said, Rich?
I said Isaiah Pacheco for
Pacheco,
for the Chiefs.
Right. Not going to be able to go this week. You know, the thinking was always that sometime right around Thanksgiving, Pacheco was going to have a shot to get back. So you're talking about another week or two down the line here. That would be huge because, you know, for not the biggest dude in the world, like, he is the tone setter for that team. He plays a really physical style. He punishes people. He's also, you know, feels like he's gotten faster through the course of time. So that can make an impact for Kansas City. The other news I reported yesterday, I don't think we can overlook, Harrison Butker, their kicker, today was officially placed on injured reserve. He has been one of the most consistent kickers. He's like the fourth most accurate kicker in NFL history, a guy that they've counted on over and over in the clutch. You're going to Buffalo this week where, I mean, at least it's not in December or January, but you're going to a place where you can get wind, you can get elements, and they're going to be trotting out a guy there in Spencer Schrader, who 24 hours ago was the member of the Jets and all of a sudden is on the 9-0 Chiefs getting ready to go up into a road game. Looks like it could be an AFC Championship preview.
Yeah, he's the Mecole Hardman of 2024. What about, let's see where else I can go right here. San Francisco and Seattle. Is Kittle dinged up? Any concerns there? And DK Metcalf is returning for Seattle right there?
Yeah, George happening? Kittle's got like a hamstring tightness thing going. Okay. You know, I feel like we talk about George Kittle every Friday. What I always say is he's usually on the injury report and he usually goes. Right. Hamstrings are tricky. If you're still feeling it, you're going to want to be cautious and not put him on the field. I have not gotten any indication that he won't be able to go, but we'll see, you know, in terms of his participation on the report today. In terms of DK Metcalf, yeah, they do expect that he's going to be able to go this week. He was a full participant in practice. They really thought, you know, he had a chance to get back before the bye. It's a grade one MCL. It was a, you know, 1 to 2 week injury. He ended up missing two games, then had the bye. He should be good to go. And I'm interested to see what this Seattle offense looks like now coming out of the bye, because from establishing the run perspective, they struggled at times. You know, Kenneth Walker really hasn't had those, you know, the consistency in the big games that we've seen from him in the past. And the other thing that happened while DK Metcalf was out is Jackson Smith and Jigba became a very high volume target in the passing game for them. So they've got to clean some things up in terms of, you know, the offensive line, the protection, and also being able to run the football. But now all of a sudden, you know, with DK coming back alongside JSN and then obviously Tyler Lockett there, they got a pretty good receiver group. If they can keep Geno Smith upright, they've got to be optimistic that with Smith and Jigba's emergence here, that they can be more dangerous in the passing game down the stretch.
What's the scoop with T. Higgins for Sunday night football here in L.A.?
Zach Taylor says he is expected to play for the first time since he suffered that quad strain, which was around 3 weeks ago. It was the Friday before the Eagles game. I know that people have, you know, there's been speculation. I see all the things on social media saying, you know, oh, he's, it's his contract. He doesn't want to play. No, from what I've been told, this is killing T. Higgins to not be out there because he knows the knocks on him have been, you know, the soft tissue stuff and the time that he's missed. It was a legit quad injury. It happened while they were warming up for practice 2 days before the game against the Eagles. I give the Bengals coaching staff credit because that's three different times this year now, Rich. They've lost one of the key guys in their game plan within the 48 hours before kickoff. It was the first week, it was T. Higgins, suffered an injury in practice, a hamstring, I believe it was at that time. Then it was again last month, T. Higgins on a Friday pulling a quad. And then the following week, Jermaine Burton, who was going to fill in because Higgins was out, has an issue where he misses a meeting and they end up deactivating him. I mean, look, those are hard things for coaches. I know that Dan Pitcher, the new OC there, does a lot in terms of putting together the plan for Zach Taylor. They've had to adjust a lot here. Finally, we might be getting closer to seeing a Bengals team that, at least on the offensive side of the ball, is, you know, obviously they lost Zach Moss too, but something resembling full strength.
You got time for one more?
Yeah.
Great. Screw it. I'm going to do it. Aaron Rodgers says he might play in 2025. What are the trappings there? You know, with a new coach going to come in?
Yeah.
Money, all of that stuff. What does that mean, Tom?
Well, here's what I would say, Rich, is we went from Aaron Rodgers at the end of his time in Green Bay, kind of on a year-to-year basis, musing about how much longer he wanted to do it. You know, at one point, a couple seasons before he left Green Bay, essentially, you know, letting the Packers know, like, I don't want to be here. I want to go someplace else, or else I'll just retire. They end up paying him. He wins another MVP. Then things go sideways again. They trade him to the Jets. Then through the process of tearing the Achilles. And of course, when they trade for him, the way they structured the contract by Rodgers' own words, you know, he was thinking of it as a two-year proposition. He effectively lost 2023. Then the more he talked, and of course, Rodgers talks a lot publicly, he started talking about 2 years or maybe three more years and things like that. So for him, with reporters the other day, when he was asked, do you know, has it changed your mind? Do you intend to play? And he said, I think so, yes. That, to me, was a big walk-it-back moment for Aaron Rodgers that's probably, you know, it's probably partly a reflection of how Aaron Rodgers is feeling at a time where, you know, you watched that play the other day after the incompletion, Devontae Adams in the end zone, fourth and goal, Rodgers is scrambling around and gets absolutely blasted and is face down on a bad team, 3-7. And I watched that play, and I'm just like, he has to be thinking, what am I doing? Why am I out here? But it's also a function of you don't know what's going to happen with the Jets. First of all, you don't know necessarily who is going to be running that organization atop the coaching search because Donald Trump just won. Woody Johnson was his ambassador to the UK in his first term. Woody, from everything I understand, would certainly like to be a part of a potential administration in some type of post. So it could be his brother Christopher, who's a very, very sharp, nice, good guy who also, you know, is a different personality than Woody. That could alter the direction that you go in terms of what type of coach you hire and what that process looks like. Does Aaron Rodgers want to stick around if they say, hey, we're bringing in a totally different, you know, we're going to hire some offensive coordinator who runs a totally different system? Does he want to be a part of that? Does he have the same level of input? If not, or if the Jets say, thanks, Aaron, this really didn't work out for 2 years, we're going to let you move on. We're either going to release you or we're going to try to trade you. Does he want to go and try this again at age 41 and find that balance of trying to bring along the young guys and also bring in some of his old guys? Is anybody going to let him do that based on the level of play? There's a lot of ins and outs of this, Rich, and it is one of the biggest stories. Season's not over yet.
Right.
For the Jets, but into the offseason, this is one of the biggest stories in football.
Well, I mean, Saleh wound up getting fired eventually because Christopher Johnson was the one who hired him while Woody was overseas in the UK. And, you know, from what I'm hearing, he's going to stick around long enough to make this coaching decision and then maybe go back. I don't know, But it was interesting when Rodgers like, yeah, I think so. And it's just like, well, that obviously is a large piece of the puzzle, but there's so many other moving parts. That's why I wanted to ask you, Tom. I appreciate the time, brother.
Trump announced like 50 appointments yesterday. So maybe we can just get this thing moving, Rich, and get some clarity on that situation sooner than later.
Sounds good. Tom Pelissero, everybody. You want to say goodbye to him? Because I know you like closure.
Bye, Tom. We miss you.
Tommy.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Tom Pelissero, everybody. Yeah. Tommy P, right here in the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take a break. Phone calls when we come back. And somebody here invited somebody here over tonight and got rejected. This was during the commercial break. We got to talk about it. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be awkward. And usually that's not our brand. It's not our brand. It's not our brand. But that's coming up. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Very smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called AutoQuote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ever meet Ali?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I was 1978 or 77. I'm locked up in Spofford Juvenile Detention Center. And all of a sudden, we come down, we watch the movie The Graded. And then next thing, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, Ali walks in.
Into your detention center?
Yes.
What was that like?
Pandemonium. And I was only 11, maybe. I didn't really understand. I heard my mother mention, called him Clay around the house. And
yeah, sure.
I didn't know who he was. As time going, I found out who he was from the show, of course. And that was good inspiration. I started, after that, I got transferred to another place where it was a gentleman, Bobby Stewart, who was a former fighter who started teaching me how to fight. And then he introduced me to legendary trainer Customato. And then I saw Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard fight. And I wasn't sure what I was going to be a fight. I was just happy to get out of that place.
Sure.
But when I saw them fight, I knew, ooh, that's what I want to do in my life.
That's what, when you saw Duran and Sugar Ray fight, that's when you said, that's what I want to do. How do you get into the mindset to go ahead and knock somebody like Marvis Frazier out in 30 seconds?
You know,
Robert Coley in 37 seconds.
It doesn't happen overnight. It happens when you're a kid, and you have to be that person before you become that person.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? I think I know what you mean, but I'd love to.
It's a lifestyle. You have to live that lifestyle at a young age. I just lived that lifestyle. Never had girlfriends. I trained all day. I watched fight films all day. I read fight magazines all day. Every conversation I had with somebody was about fighters, who you think would have won this and that. Just like guys that love basketball, baseball. Who you think would have won? Who you think's the best? Kareem, Oscar Robertson?
Sure.
Who you think's the best? And that's all I was. You think you could be him? You thought it'd be him. Match the guys with the past, with the guys with the presence and this and that. And that's all I thought about.
Mike Tyson, one of our first in-studio guests back in the day.
That's cool.
Right on our YouTube channel, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. The desk is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Chris Brockman, you invited TJ Jefferson to stop by your spot tonight.
I did.
To watch the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight.
Yeah, it's an event.
On Netflix. And TJ, your response was?
I'm good.
That was actually his response.
I know.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Why are you good?
I don't.
Are you uninterested in the fight?
I kind of am.
Why? We've been talking about it for months.
My interest has not been high in months. I don't know. There's a whole circus element to this I don't like. I don't like the fact to think that Paul could beat Mike Tyson like that. And if it is, is it realistic? Is it something on this up and up? I don't know, man. Like, of course, that sounds weird coming to me being the biggest pro wrestling fan. But at least I know the deal with that. I don't know the deal with this. So, I don't know, man.
I just remember when we were kids. The Mike Tyson fight was an event.
Yeah.
You know, yes. It was on HBO, and HBO was kind of free in the early days of cable.
Couldn't be late for it either.
And you couldn't be late because there was a good chance it was over in
a minute,
2 minutes.
By the time the popcorn was done.
Yeah, not a lot of them went past the first round. And look, I know Mike hasn't fought since 2005, and the ending was not great, obviously.
Yep.
And now it's back. Look, nostalgia is one of the most dangerous drugs that we have. And I feel like, I don't know, it's a chance for Mike to put the kid in his place, and I don't want to miss it. And in case it happens, I want to make sure that I'm watching. And I think that's why I'm so excited for it.
We saw Jake Paul at Fanatics Fest in New York.
We did.
He's bigger than you think.
He's a very big man.
He's a much bigger dude than you
And if you see some of
think.
The pictures, he kind of towers over Mike a little bit.
Mike's only like 5'10", though. So.
Well, Mike was never taller than you know most anybody. Yeah. He just was so fast and so brutal.
And so frightening.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? And then he slapped him open-handed. Mm-hmm. Now, this one, do you think that was planned? Now, that one, right?
Now, I tell you, I saw a video, right, that somebody connected to this video. And years ago, Tyson was talking about his feet and how he hates people stepping on his feet.
Oh, okay.
And they connected that. And this video had to be well over 10 years old. And then when you look, Jake Paul actually did step on his toe.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
What elicited the slap. So, okay. You know, I doubt that they did that much of a deep dive to be like, hey, let's do this.
Right.
So maybe it could have been on the up and up.
Look, it's only 8 rounds. They're 2-minute rounds.
Jake Paul, this is a pinch me moment. I got slapped by Mike Tyson.
That's funny. That's funny.
Man.
It's only going to be like 20 minutes. And, you know, it's part of a much bigger card. The women's fight is actually huge and a monster. So, look, I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it. We've been talking about it for a long time. It was, you know, postponed. It was supposed to happen, you know, over the summer, but.
Is this going to be like a Netflix mixed event, like where they'll have the Great British Baking Show in between some of these cards?
I thought you meant like at the World Series where all the Fox people on the news shows.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, there's Paul Hollywood sitting in the front.
Like, that would be great.
You know?
The cast of Emily Goes to Paris or whatever.
Okay. You know your Netflix, huh?
I'm on it. I have a toddler.
Maybe TJ doesn't want to watch this fight because it's been a long time since he's seen a fight put up in AT&T Stadium.
Wow.
What's more likely? Hold on a minute. In all seriousness.
You think the curtains will be up?
What's more likely?
That the Jets lose? Is that one of the things?
Don't even go Jets. I'm impervious. I am impervious.
I love how you can just disassociate yourself, but I can't.
Oh, fully disassociating myself. fully in a disassociative sense, like I'm on ayahuasca in Egypt.
I know you
don't
read the comments.
That's how disassociated I am.
But there are a lot of comments on YouTube clips asking this exact same question. Why are you allowed to just be like, hey, the Jets...
Because I mean it and feel it.
Okay, but when I tell you that I don't, like, I'm cool with it, you refuse to accept any answer for me that does not involve me curled up in the fetal position because the Dallas Cowboys lost the football game, which is never going to happen.
Okay.
Because I won some black three cement threes on sneakers last night. Life is great, baby. I'm doing well.
So.
Brockman won them too.
So now that you've gotten that off your chest. Mm-hmm. Excellent soliloquy, by the way.
Thank you.
Look
Thank
at you.
Today's the Macho Man's birthday. I'm great today. Rich.
It's a what's more likely Friday. We're playing it later. Top of hour number three. What's more likely?
Oh, God.
What's more likely? How do I phrase this? What's more likely to last more competitively in AT&T Stadium?
Oh, gosh.
Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson.
Or the Texans in
eight
Cowboys.
Rounds of 2 minutes apiece.
Yep.
That's 16 minutes.
16 whole minutes.
We're not including, do we include in between rounds?
Well, it's just a minute between rounds.
So that's fine, but that.
Yeah, the fight's literally going to be over in a half hour.
Okay. Yeah. Or a half hour of game time on Monday night between the Cowboys and Texans.
What's more competitive?
In the last home games for the Dallas Cowboys, the competition has essentially been over by halftime. That's 30 minutes. Now, obviously, Tyson and Paul lasts three rounds. Now, the Texans would have to put up like 14-17 in the first 7 minutes of the first quarter, which makes it less likely that the Cowboys and Texans would win this conversation. What's more likely?
It was 14-6 at the end of last week's game.
More likely?
I don't know if that's over.
Okay.
You never felt Dallas was in the game last week.
I did in the first quarter.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
I weirdly think Dallas might keep it close.
Okay. So that's where you're going likely there?
Yeah.
Okay. Just throwing it out there.
I like it.
He thinks I'm trolling. I thought it was a legitimate.
14-10 the game before that at halftime.
What? 14-10 who?
We were losing, but you made it seem like the games were over at halftime is what.
Oh, well, I mean, against Detroit it was, and Baltimore and New Orleans it was.
That's not the last 3 weeks.
Okay. I'm talking about at home. That's been your problem at home.
Yeah.
No. Well,
at home.
Not just
in this stadium. It's been a problem.
Okay. Yeah.
So are you taking the game? Are you taking Cowboys?
To win?
No, to be more competitive than the fight.
Question is, will Tyson be bothered if the fans are watching him work out or eat lunch before the fight?
Well, he probably won't do that there.
Yeah. Does he come out swinging on this? Or
yes.
How long can he...
Right.
2 minutes. He's going to come just like.
Mike needs to knock him out in the first couple rounds.
Bang it out real quick.
He looked like an AI version of himself standing there in his.
Well, have you seen the viral interview that's gone nuts with him and this 14-year-old girl reporter who's also from Brooklyn?
Okay.
Where she asked him about his legacy and he was basically like, I'm going to be dead soon. There's no legacy. It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God.
Legacy is something that someone just created. Dude.
It was intense and scary.
Mike Tyson's legacy is one of the most ferocious fighters that has ever laced up a pair of gloves.
Facts. I mean, his four-year window was one of the greatest things ever.
Absolutely flamed out when he could have raised his level of success.
If he would have had a better team around him,
right,
this whole story
would have been different. So on and so forth.
Rich, there was also an interview he did where, and this was actually kind of scary. He was like, to my kids, I'm nobody. I'm nobody special, but they're going to find out that their dad was at one time special. And the way he said it made me go, okay, I now believe
it was
this.
The I'm bringing the devil to the ring.
Yeah, my kids don't know anything about me, but they're going to know. Yeah.
Well, you remember that moment he's sitting right here in 2015 when I asked him how many rounds can you give me? He goes, I don't want to think about it. I'm like, why? He goes, because whenever I think about getting back in the ring or boxing, I go to a dark place.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like, let's take a break.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I think he's in that spot right now, to be honest with you.
I
he has to be.
He has to be. If not, he could get really injured.
That's the other thing.
They're touching gloves around, what, 7:30 Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern?
Yeah, something like that. The card starts at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern right. On Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least TJ got an invite.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know if you're on a plane to Canada tonight. Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't know where your travels are.
You did look straight past Jay.
I did. I went right to TJ.
Went right to TJ.
Felly, I'm sorry. That did happen. Accept my apology, please.
I accept.
Thank you.
That's his way of saying I'm good.
You're good. Do you want to come over? Or do you want, it's just me and Cage tonight.
I'm good.
And here's the other question. Here's the other thing.
That was such an easy setup.
Can I let Cage watch this? Is it cool if I let him watch this?
There'll probably be some words said. You might want to keep the volume low.
I don't know. But I mean, I don't.
He also
don't,
might be asleep by 7:30. I'm just saying.
But that said, like, has he ever seen one person beat up another?
You mean aside from him doing it to me?
Yeah. Yes, that's one thing.
He's caught Chris Lowe a few times.
Okay. This one is like Jake.
No, I know.
There will be a moment where one guy might stun the other.
Yeah, I know.
And then continuously pummel that person.
Not really. So I mean, he's seen some Marvel movies, I guess.
So then maybe,
if he saw Thanos lump up the Hulk, then he can survive seeing that.
We haven't gotten that far yet.
I mean, because I'm still shook about that.
That's spoiler alert. I haven't got there yet.
You know my philosophy on all of this is that in terms of what you're showing your kids, there's the standard kids' fare. Then there's movies that are inappropriate. Then there's moments like maybe this, but the worst of all is Caillou. Showing your child that whiny Canadian is far worse than watching blood get drawn by one man pummeling another.
There's literally few things on earth you hate more than Caillou.
Honestly.
I don't know if there's five.
That's the range. That's the range of awfulness. That's funny. Okay?
No, we're a Caillou free zone.
Yeah, that whiny Canadian teaches the worst things imaginable. Like, I'd rather his child watch one man beat up another than Caillou.
Thank you. All right. Good to know.
On behalf.
Good to know.
Oh,
good
by the way,
good
Susie know. Feels the same way good on note. Behalf of yep, my entire of family
yeah.
who adores you and Sarah yeah. and your beautiful boy.
Good note. Thank you.
Caillou.
Let's take a break.
What's the five things you say to the face?
Honestly, like this right there, I'd rather see this than Caillou whine like a you know what.
Ah,
oh, look at that.
Was lost that
I wasn't that stepping on his toes there.
You better not have.
Oh my gosh. Top five games I'm looking forward to coming up. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Hey, everybody, let's talk about Game Time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas. So you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Oh, Adrian Brody is here ringside.
Right.
Nobody wants this. All episodes available. Exactly. Like, is that what we're going to say?
I think. I don't know. Maybe, but I would imagine. Wouldn't surprise
Kerry Russell,
me.
The diplomat.
Is that Netflix only, Diplomat?
Oh, I Googled this stuff.
I was like, wow, you watch a lot of shows.
I do not. Susie and I, because you know I've been on a social media cleanse for a week and a half, and it's been awesome.
I agree with you. It's been great.
Oh, you've been on it too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been posting. I've been kind of just scrolling, but mostly just for fantasy news.
Oh, gosh. But anyway, the reason why I bring it up is Susie and I have so far this week been able to avoid any Yellowstone spoilers.
Oh.
And we're going to watch it tonight.
But you're caught up, right, until this new season?
I mean, we're going to need a refresher.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, what, a year and a half?
It's been a while. It's like old Sopranos. Remember when they would take a year That's and a right. half, 2 years off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I think we're going to try and figure that one out tonight because, you know, I've been jet lagged.
Yeah.
And again, those three narcissists, I mean, kids at home have been, you know. Do my children know I refer to them as narcissists when they're not around? Truly
what is Coop's thoughts on the Soto thing? Obviously, he wants him in the Yankees, but like,
he's locked
does he
in.
Have an idea?
He's locked in.
Yeah.
He's locked in. He wants Alonso, too.
Hey, chill, Coop.
He wants Alonso also. But Coop's locked in.
I think for my team, we need pitching. We need some. We need. Everybody we need to get Max pitching. Fried. We need to get Garrett Crochet. One of these guys.
You gonna get him?
Probably not. John Henry stinks. I can't stand that guy. So he. No, by the way, he was not at the Soto meeting, which is telling.
Oh boy, that's probably good.
Yeah.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204 Rich number to dial here on the program. So, the Washington Commanders, you know I've been so high on them, man.
One of the best surprise stories of the
year. I even screamed, the Commanders are going to win tonight. I'm going to take them. And then they score first, and then they were keeping the Eagles off balance.
No, they look good.
And but they just, you know, they couldn't get McLaurin open for worth a damn. And you got to tip your cap to the Philadelphia Eagles. 5 days. In 5 days, Pennsylvania has turned the Commanders' season around. Steelers Sunday, Eagles Thursday. They're now 7-4, and instead of being a, you know, potential contender for this division, I mean, they're not out of it, but it doesn't look great. They're going to maybe be one of those, what, 5-6 seeds that's going to try and be a plucky wild card weekend team to win in Atlanta. You know, you look at the Washington Commanders schedule, there are some winnable games here. TJ's Cowboys come in, the Tennessee Titans come in, and then there's a bye. They're at New Orleans, second shot at Philadelphia, and then a Saturday game home for Atlanta. So four of their final six games are in Virginia. Then they visit Dallas.
They got to win three of those.
I think they will.
Yeah, 10 gets
you in. They should.
10 gets you in. They need three more.
They should, and I think we're going to see Jaden Daniels play playoff football. The question is, how healthy is he? The numbers do not lie. He says he's not hurt. He says that the rib injury might make him wince every now and then. But they were 4-2 before he hurt his rib. They're 500 after. He completed 3 out of every 4 passes before he hurt his ribs. Now it's 60%. His passer rating was just a hair over 107 before he hurt his ribs. It's just a little bit below 90 after. Rushing yards per game. He averaged 53.7 rushing yards per game before he hurt his ribs. After, 27.5. I mean, those numbers you can't deny. Dan Quinn, just a weird going for it. You know, they went for it on fourth down instead of trying to field goal to go up 13-12 in the fourth quarter. And instead, you know, I guess it was a snap that Daniels had trouble handling. Jalen Carter was then right in his lap, and he ran for his life, and it didn't work. Dan Quinn had this to say after the game about going for it.
Bold call, but I would also say we're prepared for that moment. Don't love the execution, but we've been an excellent fourth down team. So going into it, we knew we'd have to take our shots against a tough division team on the road. We thought that was an appropriate one. Certainly don't like the execution and the result, but we were prepared for that and being bold into those moments, knowing we'd have some fourth downs. But that's one we can fix.
Yeah, they can fix it, sure. Can they fix Jaden Daniels' ribs? I don't think that's deniable. And the bye week is 3 weeks away. Well, at least they got a mini bye right here. I think they can go on a nice run. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think we see them. I think we see them in the playoffs.
But they're two behind Philly. The division might be gone.
Feels like it.
Well, Philadelphia, let's see where they go. They're out here against the Rams on a Sunday night. Yep. And then they're at Baltimore. Hold the phone. They've got their game against Pittsburgh. Their second trip to Washington and then two home division games. They should just boat race.
Yeah, I would expect them at the very least to beat the Rams, beat the Panthers, Cowboys, and Giants. That's four more wins.
Rams, okay, so then
so that's 12. That's 12. That's 12 and 5 at the worst.
Yeah, I mean, Washington would have to run a table to have a shot at the division.
Yeah.
I don't see that. But, you know, they got a good run game. They've got a good run game. They're much improved, and the kid is just, I think the kid's hurt. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I've got my top five list. Let's do it. My top five games. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of this weekend, and it's a great weekend. Hit it, please.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right. A great start, or at least, you know, it was an interesting matchup. The game wasn't all that great on Thursday night, but that said, there were four division matchups in Week 11, and I have a pick of the litter here. This is one of the most target-rich top five lists I've had all season long for other games that intrigue me for the rest of the week. Number five, Seahawks 49ers. That's another division game. Seahawks coming off a bye at 4-5. Niners are 5-4, coming off of that win, coming off of their bye. Can they start to get some traction? McCaffrey's back. Looks like Juwan Jennings is feeling good. Offensively, can they get some traction going? And the Seahawks need to win this one. I mean, going to 4-6 would be problematic for this team, I think. You know, and San Francisco has already won at Seattle. They got to have this one. I feel that way. DK Metcalf's back. Let's see it. That's number five. Number four is right down the street. Bengals and Chargers. This was a flexed into game, and I kind of dig it. I kind of dig it. Joe Burrow back in the place where he almost damn won the Super Bowl. And it looks like T. Higgins is back. And the Bengals just can't get over that hump to get to 500. And if they lose this one, 500 will be a very long climb. If they win this one, they're 5-6. They knocked the Chargers down a peg to 6-4. They would have this tiebreak in their back pocket because I don't think either of these teams are going to win their division. This is huge. And by the way, Jim Harbaugh's first nationally televised game on broadcast television since he's come back to the NFL. The Chargers were on ESPN Plus against the Cardinals. It was their last loss. They've won three in a row since that loss. They're 6-3. They're on NBC. I can't wait to see it. Number three. Bloodsport rivals, and the Packers would love to tell the Chicago Bears, we still own you, and great job with your offense, folks. Great job. Great job with your first overall pick quarterback. You know, we're just coming in with the guy that we drafted in the first round, pissed off Aaron Rodgers, then we sat him for all these years, and he's better than your guy. We know we've got our quarterback, do you? Like, they have that chance to say that, even though I do believe Caleb is their guy. Bears are reeling. They need a win. Their coach is on a hot seat. Packers could use to win this, too, if they want to win the division. I love it. Number two on this list is Ravens Steelers. Come on, man. And it's not just Ravens Steelers. Buckle the Steelers up. Are back. The Ravens are feeling good after that big-time win over the Bengals sweeping them. Lamar, two-time MVP. Russell Wilson wins three in a row after being named the starter after Justin Fields goes 4-2. He's coming back home. His first taste of this blood sport rivalry. Come on, right off the bat, 1 Eastern on CBS. Let's go. But number one is the game that always delivers. Playoffs, regular season. We're seeing Travis Kelce with some sort of a trick play, but sorry, that's called back because there was an offensive offsides that was happened last year. Remember Mahomes was like barking at the refs because he couldn't bark at poor Kadarius Toney. And then, you know, we all know the history here. And the Bills are now 8-2, and nobody expected that. The Chiefs are 9-0. I don't think anybody expected them to be undefeated by this point in time either. That's the number one matchup.
You think we need one more?
Why not?
All right, we'll get one more.
I went Falcons Broncos here. You called it sneaky good yesterday.
It's pretty sneaky.
It is. Broncos 5-5. They're holding their fort. They're that beachhead at the seventh spot in the AFC with a bunch of 4-6, 3-6 teams that have their eyes on them.
Both these teams kind of need this one.
I think so. Bo Nix against the old man, Kirk Cousins. Bijan Robinson says I can do that
fire.
Saquon jump thing.
He's been on
what if he
fire.
Tries it? What if he says it on this show and then he does it? That would be amazing.
It'd be great for us.
But all that said, this is a good one. An NFC, AFC matchup, Denver, Colorado. Let's go. Falcons, Broncos is my one more of so many great games on the Week 11 marquee here on the Rich Eisen Show. The very funny Jeff Dunham in studio, hour number three, and what's more likely? Mm. I mean, I left some meat on the bone. You want to talk intriguing? Anthony Richardson's back. Jets are 3-7 at home. 3-8 is truly like the number of 3-7 is already toast. I get it, but 3-8's a different story also. That's a big one. What's another one that I was looking at? Yeah, I guess, you know, New Orleans on a bye. Jets are on a... No, New Orleans, Cleveland. Jameis back in New Orleans. Minnesota, Tennessee. That's one of those sneaky ones I'd watch out if I'm Minnesota.
Yeah, Rams, Patriots is interesting.
Miami, Vegas. You know, if this was like 1970 something, yeah, Gardner right. Minshew hanging out on South Beach the night before a game would be problematic, wouldn't it be?
It might still be.
Learning the playbook by the light of the jukebox. Like Stabler. Yeah,
that's funny. But yeah, the Dolphins win this. They're back they're, in the...
Right, that's a good one.
Back in the mix.
That's not a bad one there.
Back in the mix.
So.
Yeah, Pats can get to 4-7.
Dude. Your Patriots taking on the Rams. That's another one I was beginning to look at, too.
It's sneaky. I mean, I get it's, you know, local, but I think we're going to win this one.
You think they're going to beat the Rams? Your two favorite teams.
I do. My two favorite teams. Let's go.
You know what you should do? You should go to Boston and buy somebody else's tickets. Like reverse engineer this thing.
That's funny.
In New England.
Maybe I will. That's a great idea.
Hour three, Jeff Dunham coming up. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude,
why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.